In the studio, I've got Tania Ashman from Community Energy Whangaroa. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a nice drive out from Hamilton in the bus.
Yes, yes.
Don't you live out here too? I'm confused.
Yeah, so am I sometimes.
Okay.
So most of my employment is in Raglan, and I have a small house off Point Street, and I try and live there as much as possible, and we're getting old, and we're going to be living here for our retirement, which is in a few years' time. Yeah.
So you live in two places at once.
I live at two places at once.
Yeah, that happens. Community Energy Whangaroa is, you've been in here before and Jody's been in and Rick's been in, but you just remind us sort of vaguely what the organisation's all about.
Right, so Community Energy Whangaroa is very much part of Whangaroa's ethos of becoming a community-focused, resilient community. And so their purpose, and I'm going to read it from the website so I get it right, their mission is to eliminate energy hardship, reduce carbon emissions and increase resilience to the impacts of climate change in Whangaroa.
Okay.
Pretty good stuff, and we're starting it now.
And you, we've also had you in here talking about. Have I talked to you before about the growers market?
Yes,
you have been in talking about that. Okay, so this is a different job.
This is a different job.
Yeah. Okay.
But still has the same values, which is what I like about Raglan.
Yeah. True. So for Community Energy Whangaroa, there's an event, a thing happening, isn't there? What's the thing?
The thing is we have an event called Home Sweet Home, a guide to energy use and healthy home standards. So this is part of the Community Energy Whangaroa's ethos is to provide education to help people and support people to reduce their energy use, which is good for the environment and good for us and good for our pockets, but also alongside that to help us use what energy we are using more efficiently. And importantly, in our homes, we also need to be using energy efficiently in a way that keeps our homes healthy and warm and dry. And with this event, we're covering all that, but also we'll be addressing the healthy home standards, which were standards that are there to safeguard tenants, really.
So is that part of new legislation?
That's part of the new legislation.
Right, okay. All right.
And that's to ensure that rented homes meet a certain standard so that tenants are warm and healthy. But we're actually going to be going through that with Ian Mays and talking how it's a win-win situation, because often landlords go, oh, you know, it's more expense. But actually it's a win-win situation for the landlord and for the tenant. So we'll be addressing that with Ian Mays.
What I'm curious now, what are the advantages for the landlord?
What are the advantages?
Like what's the benefit, just generally what the benefits are, how it helps.
Right. So just off the top of my head, and so you're safe. If we're talking about a landlord, you're talking about an investment, all right?
Yeah.
And an income.
Yes.
So you're safeguarding your investment by ensuring that if you've got a really nice dry home, that you haven't got issues with mold and rotten woods, you know, unsealed windows and things like that. So it's actually safeguarding your investment.
Keeping it dry.
It's safeguarding your investment.
Moisture
is maintenance.
Yeah. Moisture is a big killer for houses in this country for sure.
Yeah. So if you're just looking at that monetary thing, you're just looking after your investment, you're looking after your building, you're keeping your maintenance up there. The other thing is about keeping it healthy for your tenants, is your tenants are going to be healthy. They're going to be able to go to work. They're going to be able to pay their rent. This is a good thing.
Tenants who die are not very good at paying their rent.
No, they aren't. Tenants who are really sick.
I'm not saying that people are going to die here, but it kind of makes the point, I guess.
Yeah. So I know that sounds pretty money orientated and pretty cruel, but actually those are really good reasons to look after your homes.
You can't ignore the money side of it if you own the house.
You've got a
big loan.
Yeah.
And you definitely need the money coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you've got a really nice, warm, dry house, you've got happy tenants, they will want to stay there and they will want to be good tenants. So you have a good relationship.
Actually, it's
with
noticeable
your
that there's landlords who understand that and landlords who take the other option of spending as little money on the place as proper as possible, and they cycle through lots and lots of bad tenants because of it, people who can't get houses elsewhere. It's an approach, isn't it? A different approach. Yeah.
But it does make sense.
So some of these, I guess what Ian's probably going to be talking about, like some of these seem to be quite expensive. Maybe he's got some ideas to solve these problems. Like if you've got to insulate your house, that isn't necessarily done easily. Or is it?
Right. So
are there programs?
So we will be addressing all that of why we need to insulate our homes, why this is a really good investment, and there are some circumstances where there are subsidies available.
Okay.
Right, so that's really good. And the same with having heaters in our living areas. If you're renting, you do need to provide that, but actually you need it in your own home too. You know, your own occupied homes need to be insulated. They need heaters. And there are some subsidies available. So we'll be touching on that. And there's also a whole range of things that are really actually don't cost anything. It's about behaviours, how we use our curtains, closing, opening them, how we air our houses. You know, these are behaviour changes, just things about putting the lids on your cooking pots, you know, to reduce the amount of humidity that's coming in your room.
Yeah.
Using the extractor fans if they're installed. If you can install them, you know, rentals have to have them installed in the bathroom and the kitchen. And what was the other? Draft stoppers. So there's lots of other things, but it's also really good to understand a bit of the science behind why we want to keep our houses warm and dry and how the science works and how our houses actually function. And so that'll be covered in this workshop as well.
It's interesting. There's things like I know that Ian has lots of like super cheap ideas too for how you can like make your curtains work properly.
Yes.
And stop like you want to stop air, even though you've got the curtain across, you can have the cold air cycling through down the bottom out the bottom and then coming back in the top. And I remember there was houses built in the 50s, and it looked like a fashion of the time, where the wall came down out wide above the curtain pelmet.
Yes.
And then it ducked in and the rest of the wall. And they went all the way around the room. And it looked like a design idea, but actually it was a sensible idea to stop that cycle of air moving through the curtain and cooling the room down.
Yeah. Pelmets are wonderful, and it's a real shame they've gone out of fashion because they're really...
Yeah, because they were never a fashion in the first place. They were a necessity.
Yeah.
Especially back when we didn't insulate the walls. I think they were people got very focused on that.
Yeah.
Back then. Now we have lots of different things we have. I'm surprised. I must admit, I'm surprised at how high the standards have gone. Like houses built in the 90s don't necessarily comply with the absolute. They're not as good as modern houses in terms of.
Yeah, it's really surprising how poorly functioning a 90s house is, which is a real shame.
Which surprises me because I remember the 70s when they first brought insulation in, and the difference between a 50s house and a 70s house was pretty substantial. But there's a bigger jump now to the houses being built currently.
And my understanding is still compared to overseas, we're still lagging behind. And being an island, we do really struggle with humidity, which then if you've got humidity in your house and cold, it really contributes to the mold issues, which we know contributes to... lung issues, and we're a country that has very, very high rates of asthma. So
Now an interesting thing with the houses. I used to work in the building industry, so I've kind of been through a lot of this. But the really old houses that don't have insulation and have wooden windows where the air leaks through, they probably have less mold issues, but they're just very cold.
Yes,
it's the houses where you've got like if you replace the windows with aluminium windows, so everything's sealed up tight. But the house is not actually insulated. I suspect that's a problem because the house is so cold. The breath your breath condensates on windows and things. And we all know what it's like to wake up in student flats. I remember that.
Oh, the
moisture all over the walls. And
it was sort of a rite of passage, wasn't it? It was terrible. Terrible idea.
Yeah, well, when you're young, you kind of you feel like you're indestructible and it doesn't matter. And you don't. And you don't have so much stress in your life then. But yeah, when you're trying to raise a family or something, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, so I think you've brought out a whole range of scenarios, and that's why it is really good to have an understanding of how a house performs, the sort of science behind it.
Yes.
And how you can change one thing, but you might need to change two. How really good ventilation works, and home performance advisors will emphasize the difference between a draft, which is uncontrolled, and ventilation, where you control it.
because ventilation is important. We saw the leaky house syndrome that was happening in the early 2000s. That's the trick. You want the ventilation where the moisture is. And if there's no moisture, then you don't need the ventilation. And often it's within the walls. It does get quite tricky if you're fresh to it.
If you're fresh to it. But once you sort of understand the basic principles, it makes sense. So alongside this event, Home Sweet Home, A Guide to Energy Use and Healthy Home Standards, is, well, we've actually put it here, it's for landlords, tenants, homeowners, and people who want to own a home. So basically everyone.
Except homeless people.
Yeah, and they most probably want to be in a home.
Yeah, that's not very helpful.
They most probably want to be in a home. So this is actually for everyone, and it really will give some really good practical information that we can all take home and put into practice. The other opportunity is that you'll be meeting another aspect of what Community Energy Whangaroa is doing, and that is training up some more home performance advisors and healthy home mentors. So Community Energy Whangaroa has paid for that training and will be supporting these people, and you'll be able to meet them and have a face-to-face conversation with them and ask them your questions. And they are still partway through their training, but they'll be able to give you some advice and some help, or direct you to either Ian or myself.
Okay. So you trained in this area?
Yes.
All right. How long have you been trained? Were you trained first, and then are you training the trainees?
No, I'm not. Home performance advice, they're the ones who are doing all the training. I did my training 7 years ago. We worked it out and have worked in this area on and off. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Who wrote this up? Who wrote up the description of Ian here on the event page? Because I'm looking at it, it says Ian May is our local home performance advisor. Ian's an encyclopedia of home performance knowledge and has an almost uncontrollable passion for educating Kiwis about home performance. That does sound like Ian.
It does sound like Ian, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, I took that off the home performance advice.
Did Jody write that?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, not Jody. No, this is off Joe Wills most probably wrote it off home performance.
That's
stolen from another website from the education where you get your training.
It's a standard brief. It probably isn't on a T-shirt.
It's a standard brief, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Ian does. He's been involved in this for nearly two decades, I think.
Oh, he was eco design advisor for Hamilton City Council
for a long time.
For decades.
Yeah. And he does. Yeah, yeah. He certainly does know his stuff. And a lot of it is – and he's also been a builder himself.
Yeah.
So he also understands that about how to do things cheaply, which I think is a concern for a lot of people. And there's if you're really desperate, here's an idea. If you're really desperate and you feel the cold air coming out the bottom of your curtains, just get some towels and throw them on top of the curtains.
Yes.
Or anything up there to stop that cycle.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when Ian,
I think we did that once in our house when we first moved in.
When Ian was an eco-design advisor for Hamilton City Council, he visited a lot of homes, and I think he's seen it all.
I bet.
And he's been able to give advice, appropriate advice for so many home occupants, related to what their resources are and how they can put it into practice.
Yeah, and he's a local resident too, which is why he's involved.
Yeah. We do prefer local.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So we're talking to Tanya from Community Energy Whangaroa about Home Sweet Home. This a guide to energy use and healthy home standards, July the 2nd. So that's what? That's a Tuesday.
Yep, week away.
A week away. Okay, yep. All right.
Mark it in your diary. It's for everyone.
Do you registration's required though? I see.
Yes.
Because limited spaces.
Yes, because we're at the old school. We'll be in the theatre. Limited spaces, and it's also so that we can have that time over a bit of supper for people to talk with the new home performance advisors that we're training, to talk with Ian and talk with Stendy's Electrical as well. We're going to have a representative.
Oh, their solar guy.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have several solar people now, I don't know.
And sort of you can talk to them about how expensive it is to get a mechanical ventilation in your bathroom or your kitchen, because those are really important things.
They can probably also tell you about how expensive it is to install solar and then how much money you save.
Yes.
Because I do know that, like, they've done the numbers on that and they can tell you how many years it takes to pay back.
Yeah. So that's really worthwhile for people to know, because they need to know what they're getting for their investment.
Yeah. Mm. And that is if you... I say it's worth doing. I haven't done it, but it seems to be worth doing. And where are the tickets? Where do you go to get the tickets?
So
to register.
Humanitix.
Is it free?
It is free.
But you've got to register. Yeah,
just because we need to know how many people are coming. It's on Humanitix, or if you go to the Facebook page for Community Energy Whangarau, or if you go onto their website, you'll also see it.
The links all through there.
Yes.
Okay. And while you're here, how was the growers market this last season? It kind of was almost a 9-month season, I think. But how did
it was?
Have you kind of had a chance to look back at it and see how you felt it went?
Well, I'm slightly biased.
But you also know from the inside, right? So
I think it went really well, and we were just so blown away with the loyal customers. So when we're outside, we could get close to 300 customers very regularly, and Raglan's quite small.
Yeah.
And when we're inside, winter, dark, rainy, people like to stay at home, we were still getting 260, 270 customers coming through.
I came in a couple of times and I could barely move in the hall. It was so full of people, and which I kind of like a room full of people.
Really buzzy. People seemed really happy, keen to hang around. They love getting their food and eating on the tables.
Yeah.
Outside, when we're outside over summer, whole families coming, spending time on the lawn. I think it's got a real event feel to it. And what I like as the coordinator is how much the vendors and the customers are coming together to make it happen by helping each other set up, clean up. It's just amazing.
So you're gearing up for a restart in like October or something?
September. We're hoping it all depends on the crops.
So it depends, if we've got a warm winter, the crops might be ready sooner.
Yes, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing, okay.
Keep an eye out, but we're really hoping for September. And there's a bit of conversation about what we could do to actually keep the event going through the winter, and maybe even having it slightly more eventish of people gathering around food to eat.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing when you come up with that and when you've got a start date and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. All right, Tanya, thank you for coming in.